So I told Joshua, and on the night before Maggie's wedding, the night before we were to leave on our journey, Joshua packed some bread and cheese and a skin of wine and told me to meet him by the date palms in the square where we would share supper together. "You have to go," Joshua said. "I'm going in the morning when you do. What, you think I'd back out now?" "No, tonight. You have to go to Maggie. I can't go."
"What? I mean, why?"
Sure, I'd been heartbroken when Maggie had asked to see Joshua and not me, but I'd come to terms with it. Well as one ever comes to terms with an ongoing heartbreak.
"You have to take my place, Biff. There's almost no moon tonight, and we are about the same size. Just don't say much, and she'll think it's me.
Maybe not as smart as normal, but she can put that down to worry over the upcoming journey."
"I'd love to see Maggie, but she wants to see you. Why can't you go?"
"You really don't know?"
"Not really."
"Then just take my word for it.
You'll see.
Will you do this for me, Biff? Will you take my place? Pretend to be me?"
"That would be lying. You never lie."
"Now you're getting righteous on me? I won't be lying. You will be."
"Oh, in that case, I'll go."
But there wasn't even time to deceive. It was so dark that night that I had to make my way slowly through the village by starlight alone. And as I rounded the corner to the back of our small synagogue, I was hit with a wave of sandalwood and lemon and girl sweat, of warm skin, a wet mouth over mine, arms around my back and legs around my waist. I fell backward on the ground, and there was in my head a bright light, and the rest of the world existed in the senses of touch and smell and God. There, on the ground, behind the synagogue, Maggie and I indulged desires we had carried for years. Mine for her, and hers for Joshua. That neither of us knew what we were doing made no difference. It was pure, and it happened, and it was marvelous. And when we finished, we lay there, holding each other, half-dressed, breathless and sweating. And Maggie said, "I love you, Joshua."
"I love you, Maggie," I said.
And ever so slightly, she loosened her embrace.
"I couldn't marry Jachin without... I couldn't let you go without... without letting you know."
"He knows, Maggie."
Then she really pulled away.
"Biff?"
"Uh-oh."
I thought she might scream, that she might leap up and run away, that she might do any one of 100 things to take me from heaven to hell. But after only a second, she nuzzled close to me again.
"Thank you for being here," she said.